السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته شيخنا، أحسن الله
اللهم
إليك.
ارحمنا آمين وإياكم. We are late to class. Can we go on now?
نعم شيخنا.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. To continue our book Al-Adab Al-Mufrad by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari رحمه الله. We had read in the last class yesterday باب إجلال الكبير, the chapter about showing esteem and genuine respect for the elderly, and that from the aspects of respecting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to respect the shaybatil muslim, from the aspects of showing reverence for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ikramu the shaybatil muslim, honoring and showing kind regard to the elderly muslim, the muslim who has grown gray hairs. He has been upon Islam for years. Allah has honored him with good age for 60 years, for 70 years, for 80 years, perhaps. He was on Salat, comes to Salawat. He was on Ar-Rawatib. He was fasting every Ramadan and the like of all of these, giving sadaqat, asking Allah for forgiveness, making adhkar, making tahiyyat, and so on and so forth, for 50, 60 years. Because of these kinds of people deserve to be respected. And from the aspects of showing genuine reverence for our Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is to show respect for these persons, the ashaybatil Muslim, the Muslim who grew old and had gray hairs. There are other kinds of people that have been mentioned in that narration from Abdullah ibn Qais, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, radiallahu anhu, and those were one who has memorized the Quran, who teaches the Quran, who acts upon the Quran, who does not go beyond limits in terms of his reading the Quran and interpreting the Quran, and neither is he negligent regarding the rulings of the Quran. Likewise, he spoke about the just and the fair ruler. If you have a just and fair ruler, from the aspects of respect for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is to show respect to these groups of persons. The next chapter we like to come to look at is Babun Yabda'u al-Kabiru bil-Kalami wa-Su'al. Yabda'u al-Kabir Kalam was su'ad. The elderly ones amongst the people should be the ones who start to speak. If you come to a gathering, you're a group of two, a group of three, a group of four. You want to find out who amongst the four of us should start to speak. Who should speak first? The Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, in our religion, he has approved for us that the elders should speak first. This is what Al-Imam Al-Bukhari has mentioned here, rahimahullah. Babun yabda'u al-kabiru bil-kalami wa-su'al. Those who are elderly, yabda'un, they are the ones who should commence al-kalam wa-su'al. They should speak first, and if there was a question, the elders should ask first. This is from the rights of the elderly over the young ones. When you have someone older than you, even by a month, even by a week, even by a day, the both of you arrive at a place, there was need for the two of you to make a statement or say something regarding a matter or ask about something regarding a matter. Those who should be brought and forward, who should be pushed forward, who should be given preference to speak are the elders. Your friend who is a day older than you should speak first before you. He should ask the question first before you. In Islam, this is from the ways of showing respect to the elderly, showing respect to our seniors. They speak first before we speak. They ask questions first before we ask if we all need to speak or that we all need to ask questions. And under this matter, Al-Imam al-Bukhari has mentioned Hadith 359. So we are upon Hadith 359 under the chapter heading Babun Yabda'u al-Kabiru bil-Kalami wa-Su'al. The elders should start with speech. They should speak first and ask the question first before those who are younger than them. Whenever a group of people have a need to ask who should speak first amongst us, definitely those who are elderly amongst us should be the first ones to speak, not the younger ones. Al-Imam al-Bukhari mentioned this issue as Hadith 359. He said, Rahimahullah, حدثنا سليمان بن حرب قال حدثنا حماد بن زيد عن يحيى بن سعيد عن بشير بن يسار مولى الأنصار عن رافع بن خديج وسهل بن أبي حصنة أنهما حدثا أو حدثاه أن عبد الله بن سهل ومحيص صوت ابن مسعود أتى يا خيبر الله بن سهل الرحمن بن سهل وحويصة ومحيصة ابن مسعود وحويصة ومحيصة ابن مسعود إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم فتكلموا في أمر صاحبهم فبدأ عبد الرحمن وكان أصغر القوم فقال له النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم كبر الكبرى قال يحيى ليلي الكلام الأكبر فتكلموا في أمر صاحبهم فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم استحقوا قتيلكم أو قال صاحبكم بأيمان 50 منكم قالوا يا رسول الله أمرهم لم نره قال فتبرئكم يهود بأيمان 50 منهم قالوا يا رسول الله قوم كفار ففداه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم من قبله قال سهل فأدركت ناقة من تلك الإبل فدخلت مربدا لهم فرقدتني برجلها. This is a very, very tremendously important hadith, Hadith 359. It has in brief a companion who was killed. It was a report from one single tabi'i. The tabi'i of this hadith was Bushair ibn Yasar, Mawla al-Ansar. He alone reports from two companions, Rafi ibn Khadij and Sahal ibn Abi Hasna. One tabi'i, Bushair, reports from two companions who both told Bushair about this incident. But Al-Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, himself, took that report from his Shaykh Sulaiman ibn Harb, Shaykh al-Islam, Abu Ayyub al-Basri. with mention that from among those who in the history of Islam were referred to as Shaykh al-Islam, one of them was Sulaiman ibn Harb, from among the teachers of Al-Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah. This narration has come from him, Sulaiman ibn Harb, Abu Ayyub al-Basri. He said, حدثنا حماد بن زيد. حماد بن زيد was also a well-grounded scholar of hadith and sunnah. Rahimahullah, he is reporting from Yahya ibn Sa'id, Yahya ibn Sa'id ibn Qais al-Ansari. Yahya ibn Sa'id here is not Yahya ibn Sa'id al-Qattan. He is Yahya ibn Sa'id ibn Qais al-Ansari. Yahya ibn Sa'id ibn Qais al-Ansari, who is reporting from the Tabi'i of this hadith, Bushayr ibn Yasar. The name of this Tabi'i is Bushayr ibn Yasar al-Harithi. Bushayr ibn Yasar reported from two companions. Bushayr ibn Yasar reported this narration from two companions. The first of them was Rafi' ibn Khadij al-Ansari. Rafi' ibn Khadij al-Ansari. And the second was Sa'al ibn Abi Hafna al-Ansari. So Bushayr reports from Rafi' ibn Khadij and Sa'al ibn Abi Hafna. What was it that they narrated? Rafi' ibn Khadij and Sahal ibn Abi Hafma both narrated to Bushayr ibn Yasar that two companions, radiallahu anhuma, Abdullah ibn Sahal and Muhayyisa ibn Mas'ud, Abdullah ibn Sahal and Muhayyisa ibn Mas'ud, Ataya Khaybara, the two of them came to Khaybar. Remember that Khaybar was the place at the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam where the Jews were resident. The Jews were resident in the outskirts of Medina, outside Medina, in a place that was referred to as Khaybar. And at that time, they were resident there upon an agreement with the Muslims. They were resident there at Khaybar upon an agreement with the Muslim, and for as long as they are going to stay, there was an agreement for how long they will stay at Khaybar and how peaceful they will maintain the atmosphere. So Abdullah ibn Sahal and Muhayyisa ibn Mas'ud both came to Khaybar in Nakhli, and they went into the date palm farm. They came to فَتَفَرَّقَا فِي النَّخْلِ. They came to Khaybar, فَتَفَرَّقَا فِي النَّخْلِ. And then they went into the date palm farm. There was a date palm farm at the time, at the place where they visited in Khaybar. And they were going, moving around the date palms. Who and who? Abdullah ibn Sahal and Muhayyisa ibn Mas'ud. Muhayyisa ibn Mas'ud and Abdullah ibn Sahal came to Khaybar, and they were moving in between the date palm trees in one of the date palm farm in Khaybar. Fakutila Abdullah ibn Sahal. Muhayyisa just suddenly noted that Abdullah ibn Sahal, the two of them that had come together, just suddenly became dead. Somebody had killed Abdullah. Imagine two friends coming into a farmland, and as they walk in between the trees of the farm, one of them just noticed that his brother, with whom they came into that farm area, had been killed. Maybe he had been caught in the head or caught. Something had happened to him, and he was dead on the ground. Qutila Abdullah ibn Sahal. Abdullah ibn Sahal became killed when himself and Muhayyisa were walking in between the date بيت طعم طعم. فجاء عبد الرحمن بن سهل وحويصة ومحجصة ابن مسعود إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. عبد الله بن سهل had been killed. So Muhayyisa quickly ran and then he called his own younger brother, Abd al-Rahman. His brother Muhayyisa and then Abd al-Rahman ibn Sahal. Abd al-Rahman ibn Sahal is the younger brother of Abdullah ibn Sahal who was killed. Abd al-Rahman ibn Sahal was the younger brother of Abdullah ibn Sahal, who was killed in the farm. Abd al-Rahman ibn Sahal, Huwayyisa, and Muhayyisa. Abdullah, who was killed, and Muhayyisa were the ones in the farm. So it was Muhayyisa who went to call his own brother, Huwayyisa, and the younger brother of Abdullah, Abd al-Rahman. I hope that's clear. Abdullah was killed. Abdullah was with Muhayyisa. Muhayyisa went back to call his own brother, Huwayyisa, and the younger brother of Abdullah ibn Sahal, who was killed, whose name was what? Abd al-Rahman. So it was Abd al-Rahman who was the younger brother of who? Abdullah ibn Sahal, who was killed. And he was called by who? Muhayyisa, who was with Abdullah in that farm. So both Muhayyisa, who was with Abdullah, who was killed, and Huwayyisa, his own brother, came together with Abd al-Rahman ibn Sahal, the younger brother of Abdullah, who was killed. They all came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Fatakallamu fi amri sahibihim. And they began to speak regarding the killing of their brother Abdullah. Abdullah just came into the farm now, and we saw him dead. Muhayyisa, who was with him, ran to call Huwayyisa and Abd al-Rahman. Abd al-Rahman is the younger brother of who? Abdullah ibn Sahal, who was killed. So both Abd al-Rahman, Huwayyisa, and Muhayyisa, they came to the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, fatakallamu fi amri sahibihim. And they began to speak to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam regarding the killing of Abdullah ibn Sa'al, ibn Sa'al. Fabada'a Abdurrahman. Abdurrahman ibn Sa'al, ulama fi, wa kana lahu fahmun wa ilmun. Abdurrahman ibn Sa'al, the younger brother of Abdullah, kana lahu fahmun, was a person of deep understanding. He was a person who had very great understanding, wa ilmun, and he was very knowledgeable. So you know, in that circumstance, he would be pushed to speak, wa kana asghar al-qawm, even though he was the youngest of the three. We had Huwayyisa, we had Muhayyisa, and Abd al-Rahman. Wa kana Abd al-Rahman asghar al-qawm. Aswa Abd al-Rahman, he was the youngest of the three of them, but he was the one who started to speak. He was an intelligent person, was a very knowledgeable person, and he happens to be the immediate younger brother of Abdullah, who was the one that was killed while in the farm. Faqala an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At that, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, kabbir al-kubra, kabbir al-kubra. The riwayah of al-Imam Muslim, which explains this expression clearer, it says, liyabda'il akbar, let the older one speak, let the oldest amongst you speak, liyabda'il akbar, let the akbar, the oldest, the eldest, the most senior, let him be the one to start speaking. So the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, kabbir al-kubra, allow the elders, give preference to your elder. And this is the point of reference in this hadith. Abd al-Rahman perhaps was the most intelligent, most exposed, most knowledgeable. notable amongst the three of them. We had Huwaydisa and who? Muhayyisa and who? Abdurrahman. Abdurrahman was the youngest of them. They wanted to speak to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam regarding the killing of their brother Abdullah. And as they started to speak, Abdurrahman started to speak. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Kabbiril Kubra, allow your elders to speak. Give the preference to your elders. And this is the point of reference in this matter. If a group of people go to a place and they needed to speak, even though the matter concerned the three of them, it concerns Abdurrahman because he's the younger brother of the person who was killed. It concerns Muhayyisa because he was the one who went into the farm with Abdullah. It also concerns Huwaydisa because he is the younger brother, is the brother of who? Muhayyisa. So they are all concerned. They are all concerned. But the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam wanted the elders amongst them to speak. So the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, kabbir al-kubra, give preference to the elders. The ulama say this is not restricted to this condition alone. Whenever there needs to be something regarding which we need to give preference, someone needs to start, we should give preference to those who are most senior amongst us. Kabbir al-kubra, allow the elders to speak first. If you want to board a vehicle, who should get into the vehicle first? Kabbir al-kubra. You want to pick something, who should pick first? Kabbir al-kubra. You are the entrance of a door, who should enter first? Kabbir al-kubra. You are upon anything of choice, you have to choose. Someone has to start something first. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, it's a foundation in relating with elders. Allow your elders to speak first. You go to a gathering, someone wants to speak about the marriage. Perhaps you want to request the hand of a girl in marriage. The most elderly in your family should start the statement first. Kabbir al-kubra. Whatever you have to do that has to do with choice making, allow, give preference to your elders, because it's the basic rule and it has to do with the various aspects of our deen as far as it involves elders and the young ones, and there needs to be preference. Kabbir al-kubra. Give preference to the elders. Give preference to the elders. You want to choose an imam in the community. The two people you want to choose, they are the same in terms of their recitation of the Quran. They are the same in terms of their genuine concern and inclination towards the Sunnah. So what do you do? You give preference to the one who is elderly. You want to choose the leader. We are coming back to that, inshallah. We have two people, very intelligent, very brilliant, but one of them is older. Give preference to your elder. You want to, whatever you have to do requiring that someone starts first. There's a plate of food in front of you. Someone should put his hands first into the food before the rest of the people. Kabbir al-kubra. Give preference to your elders. Let the elderly ones speak first. Let them speak first. Let them ask the questions first. You're in a gathering, someone asks you a question, allow your elders to speak first before you speak. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he stopped Abdurrahman ibn Sahal, even though he was the younger brother of Abdullah ibn Sahal, who was killed. The Prophet stopped Abdurrahman sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, Kabbir al-kubra. In other expressions, it says, liyabda al-akbar. Let the elderly ones, the eldest, the most senior amongst you three, let the eldest speak. Qala Yahya, al-Imam Yahya ibn Sa'id al-Ansari who reported from Bushayr ibn Yasar, the tabi'i of that hadith, he explained that expression. He said what the Prophet meant, alayhi salatu wa salam, is لِيَلِيَ الْكَلَامَ الْأَكْبَرُ, let the most senior amongst you, لِيَلِيَ الْكَلَامَ, لِيَلِيَ الْكَلَامَ الْأَكْبَرُ, allow the most senior amongst you to start the speech. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught Abu Rahman, وَكَانَ أَصْغَرَ الْقَوْمِ, who was the youngest amongst them. فقال له النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم said to Abu Rahman ibn Sahal, كبر الكبرى, meaning that ليلي الكلام الأكبر, allow your elders to start the speech first. فتكلموا, and this is the major point of reference in this hadith. The point of reference in this hadith is that when we need to speak, when we need to ask questions, as you had explained earlier, when we need to perhaps board a vehicle, you need to make a choice somewhere. Someone needs to be served food first. We are just there. The person bringing the food is just coming. He doesn't know where to start from. They are just coming. Start with your elder. And then you can use the elder as a pivot for the rest of the people. Kabir al-Kubra. Give preference to your elder. Someone asks a question and people want to provide answers. Give preference to your elders. Kabir al-Kubra. Allow your elders to speak. Some young ones will say, I'm more knowledgeable than him. Kabir al-Kubra. Give preference to the elder. Let your elder speak first. Let your elder speak first. And we shall see in the next hadith. Sometimes the reason why a younger person will not speak is that the elders have not spoken. Sometimes the reason why a younger person will not speak is that the elders have not spoken. But we're in a generation where a father and a son will be somewhere, even before the father makes a statement, the son had made expressions. Even before the father makes a statement, the son had taken over the gathering, talking and talking and talking. May Allah protect us. Kabir al-Kubra. Allow your elders to speak first. Give preference to your elders. So when the Prophet said that, alayhi salatu wa salam, for us to complete the narration, فَتَكَلَّمُوا فِي أَمْرِ صَاحِبِهِمْ, so they began to explain to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فِي أَمْرِ صَاحِبِهِمْ, regarding the matter of their brother Abdullah ibn Sahal, their companion who was killed. فَقَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ, the Prophet now asked them, اِسْتَحِقُّوا قَتِيلَكُمْ أَوْ قَالَ صَاحِبَكُمْ, اِسْتَحِقُّوا قَتِيلَكُمْ أَوْ قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ صَاحِبَكُمْ بِأَيْمَانِ خَمْسِينَ مِنْكُمْ. You need to, can you verify? Can you prove to me? Can you tell me? Can you make ayman? Can you vow? اِسْتَحِقُّوا قَتِيلَكُمْ, seek the right to be given the diya. The diya is a blood money. Make this blood diya, this blood money, the blood ransom, make it appropriate for yourself. The way to do it is, we have not seen anybody doing it. We just saw the man dead. So prove it. Give us 50 amongst you, amongst your tribe. You people go and bring yourself 50. And you should make a vow. Each of the 50 should make a vow regarding the killing of Abdullah. So they said, radiallahu anhum, ya Rasulallah, amrun ma narahu. This was a matter that we did not see. So they were afraid to vow. Maybe something fell on Abdullah. Maybe Abdullah just dropped dead. How many times were people moving on the street and they just fall down and died? But they were claiming that Abdullah was killed. So the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, if you want to affirm that he was killed so that you have the right to tahiku qatilakum, your companion who was killed, seek the right to say that he was killed. The Ayman Hamsina Minkum, by 50 of you, 50 of you should come and vow that somebody killed Abdullah. 50 of you come and vow that Abdullah was killed by somebody and not that Abdullah dropped dead. There's a difference between the two. If a man drops dead on the street, the people of the street will not be held responsible for the man's death. But if he was killed, then the family of the person who killed will be held responsible for the blood money. But they want to ask for it. They want to seek a right to have that blood money when they have not proven that Abdullah was actually killed, not that Abdullah dropped dead. Radiallahu anhu. I hope that the matter is clear. The Prophet now asked them, alayhi salatu wasalam, 50 in your family should come and make a vow that Abdullah was actually killed, not that he dropped dead. Abdullah ibn Sa'd, radiallahu anhu. Then they said, Ya Rasulallah, Messenger of Allah, Amrun lam narahu. Messenger of Allah, this was a matter we did not witness. We did not see anybody killing Abdullah. Meaning that these companions, radiallahu anhum, despite how serious and great this matter was, they were not ready to make a vow. And then it now happens that the vow was incorrect. That was how the companions used to hold Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in high esteem and reverence. They don't want to make a vow with Allah. And then it now happens that they were upon an error. It was 50-50. They could be right, they could be wrong. But they do not want to make a matter, vow upon a matter, and then it turns out to be a wrong matter. Today, many of us Muslims, we vow, we make vows, we pledge. We vow, vow, vow. Even in a matter that the most likely thing is that we are going to be wrong. You see the Muslims saying, Wallahi, Wallahi, vowing and all of these. But as for the companions, they avoided making a vow because they did not actually see anyone killing Abdullah ibn Sa'd. Then the Prophet said, Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, فَتُبْرِئُكُمْ يَهُودُ بِأَيْمَانِيَ خَمْسِينَ مِنْهُمْ. Okay, if you have refused to vow that he had been killed, Khaybar, like we said at the beginning, used to be resided. It was the residence, the place where the Jews were residing. So the accusation was against the Jews. They were the ones who killed Abdullah. And you know how crafty and dangerous they could be. So at that time, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, okay, if you want us to believe that Abdullah was actually killed by them, give us 50 amongst you who involved that he was killed. So they say, oh, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, we did not witness it. Say, okay, if the Jews bring 50 amongst them to vow that they did not kill Abdullah, will that be sufficient for you? For to break ukum Yahudu, the Aymani Khamsina minhum, if the Jews bring 50 amongst them to vow, would you accept and know that they were not the ones who had killed your brother Abdullah? At that, the group said, Ya Rasulallah, Qawmun Kufa, the Jews are Christians. They are non-Muslims. What does that mean? It means non-Muslims, they could make a vow and not care about how true the vow would be. We did not see. But as for them, they could just say anything. They don't care. They don't care about Allah. They don't revere Allah. Many Muslims today will behave in such a way that when they make a vow, they are not even sure. In fact, some people can make a vow upon something they know to be wrong. But amongst the companions, radiallahu anhum, they are not ready to make a vow over something they did not see. And they rejected the vow of the Jews because they know them to be non-Muslims who are nonchalant about Allah. They could vow upon a lie. So they say, common kufar. These people are non-Muslims. They don't care. They can vow on anything. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ففداه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم من قبله. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then paid the blood money by himself alayhi salatu wa sallam, and I've seen other reports from the camels of zakah, from the camels of zakah, from the camels of sadaqah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, both sides, the other side who had Abdullah dead, he could not prove that Abdullah was killed. Yes, Abdullah died, but was he killed? The other side could not prove that. And the vowing of the Jews, who are the most likely people according to the other group, they are not ready to accept their vow. But these are the people who have come again to say, give us the right, our brother has been killed. So to remove the controversy in the community, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَفَادَاهُ مِنْ كِبَالِهِ, he paid a ransom for that blood from himself. Meaning that when you have cases where there are confusion in the community, which tribe killed this man? Was he actually killed by them and all of these? You can't find a clear-cut legal means to resolve that matter. Then the government, the state will come in to settle the blood money on behalf of that person who was killed, for the family of the person who was mentioned to have been killed. I hope that the matter was clear. The Messenger alayhi salatu salam wanted them to prove 50, bring 50 of you to prove that he was killed and that he did not die. They say, oh no, we can't, we did not see it. Oh, Messenger of Allah, he heard that. Okay. If the Jews vow 50 amongst them vow that this person, we did not kill him, will you accept? If they accept, but it would mean that Abdullah just died. And so it would not need any blood money. So no, we will not accept their vow because they are non-Muslims and they could vow on a lie. So the Prophet said, alayhi salatu, he paid the ransom from himself. Otherwise, the Jews could have been held to pay the ransom. But instead, since they would not accept the vowing of the Jews, and they too could not vow that their brother was actually killed, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَفَدَاهُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَعَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ مِنْ كِبَلِهِ. The Prophet عَلَيْهِ السَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ had to pay the ransom from himself. قَالَ سَهْلٌ إِبْنُ أَبِي حَفْمَةٍ, one of the companions who reported this hadith to Bushayr ibn Yassar, he said, رضي الله عنه, فَأَدْرَبْتُ نَاقَةً مِنْ تِلْكَ الْإِبِلِ, I was old enough to see one of those camels, because they received 100 camels. The family of Abdullah ibn Sahal, they received what? 100 camels as ransom from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet gave that by way of settling the community, because life at the time was very, very important. It could set the community ablaze. The other people may want to start, and then community goes into confusion. The governor did that, I think, in Nigeria some years ago, when he had to settle a community over the claims of killing from another community. The other community did not agree. This community said that they killed our brother. The other community said, no, we did not kill anybody. We are not the ones, and all that. So he had to settle the community where the victims of death came. That time, people were speaking English, grammar, this, that, criticizing him. He spent billions to settle that. This is from the things the government will do if it were completely a government of Islam. And I'm sure that governor who did that too might have been advised by the scholars of Islam in his community to do that. So sometimes the government of a country can come into these matters to settle these kinds of blood money, ransom, and all of these, by way of seeking relief for the community, so that what has happened does not throw the community into a state of confusion and insecurity. So Sahal said, "Adraktu naqatan min tilka al-ibil." I met one of those camels, and I saw one of those camels. This is by way of affirming the story that it actually happened. I saw one of those camels. فَدَخَلْتُ مِرْبَدًا لَهُمْ, because I entered one of the mirbat. The marabid is the place where they keep camels or goats. Said I entered one of those for the family of Abdullah ibn Sahal, that name Rijiliha, and it hit me with its feet. That camel, one of those camels that I saw from the camel that was used to ransom the death of Abdullah ibn Sahal. I went to the place where their camels and their goats stayed, and the camel, in fact, hit me with its feet. This is by way of affirming to us that the incident was real. And this was from Sahal ibn Abi Hasma, one of those who narrated the incidents to Bushayr ibn Yasir. I even met one of the camels. It's like saying, I even saw one of the camels that was given to the family of Abdullah ibn Sa'd. But for us, the point of reference was that Abdul Rahman, the younger brother of Abdullah ibn Sa'd, wanted to speak. He was the most knowledgeable among them. And the Prophet stopped him, alayhi salatu wasalam, and said, Tabbiri Kubra, give preference to your elders. So if a community, a group of people came there, we have, yes, we have PhDs, professors, and there are babas there. Allow the babas to speak. Allow the elders to speak. They may even give the introductory notes and all that, and then ask you to speak. But don't be the one, I'm not more knowledgeable than them. Allow them to speak. When a matter came up in the community and the scholars need to respond, allow your elderly ones amongst the scholars to speak. Allow the elders amongst the scholars to speak. Allow the elders amongst the scholars to speak. And this will lead us to the next hadith that Al-Imam al-Bukhari has reported regarding respect and esteem for elders. That occurs in hadith 360. And the chapter heading Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, Rahimahullah, Babun, Iza lam yatakallam al-kabir, هل للأصغر أن يتكلم? If the elders now refuse to speak, if the elders do not speak, هل للأصغر أن يتكلم? Is it appropriate for the youngest to now speak? When a community, the elders were supposed to speak and they do not speak, is it correct? Can the youngest speak? He wants to tell us about that. Those who have a bigger right to speak are who? The elders. Okay, the elders did not speak, and the matter was on the ground. Is it appropriate? Al-Bukhari was mentioning it like a question. Is it appropriate for the elders to speak? And then he brought a hadith. That hadith, Al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, has reported this from Musaddad. So he said, حَدَّثَنَا مُسَدَّدٌ قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا يَحْيَى بْنُ سَعِيدٍ عن عبيد الله قال حدثني نافع عن ابن عمر قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم أخبروني بشجرة مثلها أو مثلها مثل المسلم أخبروني بشجرة مثلها مثل المسلم تؤتي أكلها كل حين بإذن ربها لا تحط ورقها فوقع في نفسه النخلة فكرهت أن أتكلم وسمى أبو بكر وعمر فلما لم يتكلما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم هي النخلة فلما خرجت مع أبي قلت يا أبتي وقع في نفسي النخلة قال ما منعك أن تقولها لو كنت قلتها كان أحب إلي من كذا وكذا قال ما منعني إلا لم أرك ولا أبا بكر تكلمت ما فكرهت. This hadith Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah reported from his Shaykh Musaddad. That is Al-Imam Musaddad ibn Musarhadin ibn Musarbalin. We read a number of hadith from him, Musaddad. And there is not amongst the scholars of hadith, but amongst the reporters in the six books of hadith, whose name was Musaddad, except ibn Musarhad. Rahimahullah, the Shaykh of Al-Bukhari in this hadith. He said, حَدَّثَنَا يَحْيَى بْنُ سَعِيدٍ. Yahya ibn Sa'id in this isnad is different from Yahya ibn Sa'id in the last isnad. And you will note that the tabaqah, the level, the rank in the chain of reports where they occur is also different. Yahya ibn Sa'id al-Qattan occurs in a lower tabaqah than Yahya ibn Sa'id al-Ansari. So here we have Yahya ibn Sa'id al-Qattan. He is reporting from his Shaykh Ubaidullah ibn Umar al-Umari. Ubaidullah ibn Umar al-Umari, rahimahullah, one of the students of Nafi. So he says, Haddafani Nafi'un. Nafi was a free slave of Abdullah ibn Umar. Nafi, Mawla Abdullah ibn Umar. And he happens to be reporting this hadith from his master, Abdullah ibn Umar, radiallahu anhuma. Abdullah ibn Umar said, Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Akhbiruni bishajaratin masaluha masalul Muslim. There was in this gathering Abu Bakr, Umar, Abdullah ibn Umar, and perhaps others. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam threw a question. He says, Akhbiruni bishajaratin masaluha masalul Muslim. This means that in a gathering, the learned person can throw a question to the people. He wants to teach them something. So instead of going on to start explaining, he starts by a question. So teacher, if you vary your approach to teaching, it will make your students better. Their attention, you call it in different ways. In fact, when you come to class, they start looking forward to how you want to start the class today. What the Prophet did, instead of start telling them, alayhi salatu wasalam, the palm tree is like this, it's like this, it's like this. What he did was just that he asked them a question. Akhbiruni bishajaratin. Tell me the name of a tree. Masaluha masalul Muslim. The simple, the illustration you can have regarding this tree is like the Muslim. What does that mean? This was talking about the date palm tree. And the date palm tree, everything on the date palm tree is beneficial. Everything. There is nothing Arabs threw away from the date palm tree. You use the leaves. For the leaves of the date palm tree, they use the leaves of the date palm tree to make bags and mats. They make mats with the leaves of the date palm tree. Till today, the leaves of the palm is still used as mats. And they use them in making even baskets. Today, we even use them to make chairs, many other things. Likewise, the seed of the date palm is the food for livestock. Camels eat that seed from the dabino. Camels eat it. And then the flesh itself contains a lot of sugar, as they say, a lot of protein and other minerals that you could make benefit from. So the entirety of the date palm tree is beneficial. That is the example of the Muslim. Everything about the Muslim is of benefit. Everything about the Muslim is of benefit. Wherever the Muslim is, he wants to bring benefit to the people and avoid harm from the people. The Muslim wants to bring benefit to the people. The date palm tree, all about it is benefit. So the Muslim, all about him is benefit. And putting away harm from the people. May Allah protect you. That's why all Muslims, wherever you are, let it be known, let it be seen. You can bring benefit to the people. The Muslim is the person of benefit. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam likened the Muslim to the date palm tree. Everything about it is benefit. In fact, when you stay near it, you have shade. When you stay near it, you have a shade. The Prophet spoke on about that tree. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Akhbiruni bi shajaratin. Give me the name of a tree. Masaluha masalul Muslim. The similitude of that tree is like the Muslim. Tu'ti ukulaha kullahin. Tu'ti ukulaha kullahin. Every time the dates come, it does not have the dates itself, the seed, the fruit. It bears the fruit round the years. It's not like a seasonal thing. No, every time you have the farm getting ripe, you remove it. You find that that's getting ripe, you remove it. You find that that's getting ripe. Around the year, you remove it. You find that that's getting ripe. You remove it. You find that that's getting ripe. You remove it. So all the time, over the year, you find it bearing fruit. And believe me, Rabbiha, by the permission of its Lord, La tahutu wa rafuha. The leaves of the date palm do not fall on the ground, littering the floor. By the permission of Allah, it does not, the leaves do not fall down, littering the floor. It's always up there for the date palm tree. So fawaqa fi nafsi an akhlaqi. Abdullah ibn Umar narrating this then said, it came to my mind that the name of that tree is An-Nakhla, the date palm. It occurred to me, but for karistu an atakallam, I dislike to speak. I did not like to speak on that day. Why did he not like to speak? Wasamma Abu Bakr wa Umar. On that occasion, Abu Bakr was there, Umar was there. My father Umar, Abu Bakr, elders were there. And the lesson they had learned from the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam is what? Kabbir al-Kubra. Give preference to the elders. Let your elders speak first. So he said, because Abu Bakr was there, Umar was there, I could not speak. Because Abu Bakr did not speak, Umar did not say anything. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on to answer the question he had posed to them. He said, he and Nakhla, the name of that tree that has a similitude of goodness like the Muslim is the date palm tree. Ibn Umar went on to say, "Falamma kharajtu ma'a abi," when I went out and we set to leave together with my father, "Qultu ya abati," I said, "Daddy, my father, waqa'a fi nafsi an-nakhlatu." The date palm tree, it came to my mind that the answer to that question the Prophet had asked alayhi salatu wasalam was the date palm tree. So Umar said, radiyallahu anhu, ma mana'aka an taqulaha. What was it that had prevented you from saying the answer? And this one, Ibn Umar replied and said, Umar radiyallahu anhu continued and said, law kunta qultaha kana ahadda ilayya min kaza. If you had said it, I would have really liked it. It would have been more beloved to me than so and so and so. So the son Abdullah replied and said, "Ma mana'ani illa lam arakta wala Abu Bakr." Nothing prevented me except that I had not seen you, wala Abu Bakr. Neither did I see Abu Bakr takallamtuma. I did not see any of you speaking. Ma mana'ani illa lam araka wala Aba Bakrin takallamtuma. Nothing prevented me except that I had not seen you, O my father, nor Abu Bakr Siddiq takallamtuma. I did not see you speak, so I kept quiet. Why? The basic lesson we had learned is that what? Kabbir al-Kubra. So this is the foundation. The foundation is that when you are with elders, you keep quiet, allow the elders to speak. So for Karih too, I did not like to speak because elders were there, they didn't say anything. So to the extent that you may not even say anything, but the elders were there. Umar was silent. So that statement from Ibn Umar, the reason I did not speak is that they were elders and they remained silent. Even though if he spoke, maybe it would have been beneficial, but he kept quiet because elders were quiet. And the father did not blame him for keeping quiet. Umar could have said, so why did you not speak? And then. So waiting for elders to speak is very necessary. Waiting for elders to speak is very, very necessary. Many times when something happens, people ask questions, we say we have not heard scholars speaking about. It is necessary for a younger person to wait for the elders to speak. You might have had a view, you might have had an opinion, but let the elders speak. They may confirm your view as Omar is confirming the view of Abdullah radiallahu anhuma. And then they may negate it that no, you are just saying that because of your young age. This is the best explanation. This is their explanation. And then the Prophet had said, alayhi salatu wasalam, kabbir al-kubra. Allow the elders to speak first. Give preference to the elder. So remain silent. Allow the elders to speak. Even though some of the scholars said this statement of Omar meant that perhaps you could have even said it to me, or that you could have even spoken it, told the Prophet when you saw that we were not speaking. But the basic rule is that allow the elders to speak first. Give it some time. Don't just jump at it, even though you may have to give in the information, you may have to supply the information, but be patient with it first. Don't rush to speak in front of the elder. Don't rush to speak. Be patient. Don't rush to speak. Allow the elder to speak. Allow the elder to speak. Yeah, even Omar knew what they did not know. Their attention did not even go to it. Omar had the answer. So he said, this is Abu Bakr and this is Umar, they have not spoken. Why should I speak? So he remained silent. And when his father said, why did you not speak? Say, you are there, Abu Bakr was there. In our own times, parents will be the ones telling young ones, keep quiet, keep quiet. Younger ones want to speak before the elders now. So for the sake of Allah, allow the elders to speak. Yes, you may need to speak, but let it be that it be clear that the elders did not have anything to say. Then perhaps the younger one may speak. That was why Imam al-Bukhari gave it as a question mark. In fact, sometimes you may not even speak at all. Why? Elders did not speak. So you may not even speak at all. But sometimes it may be absolutely necessary, and this is from the ways of Imam al-Bukhari. When a matter may take two ways, he brings it as a question. To know that it may be this way, it may be that way. But the basic rule is that allow the elders. Give some time, give a space. It is when it is clear that the elders are not saying anything because they don't have anything to say, or that the information is so vital that the elders did not know about it and the information needs to be supplied. At that time, the younger person could speak otherwise. The basic rule is that when the elders are not speaking, be silent. When the elders are not speaking, be silent. I think it should be sufficient for us to stop here. From the aspects of showing respect and genuine honor and dignity for the elders is that when they do not speak, be silent. And don't come in front of them, as we read in the earlier chapter, to speak, as was in the case of Abdurrahman ibn Sahal, who wanted to speak regarding the killing or the death of his brother, Abdullah ibn Sahal. And the Prophet stopped him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And rather commanded that the elders amongst them should speak. So the basic rule is that in the gathering, the elders should speak, the younger ones should be silent. The only time the younger ones may speak is when it becomes clear that none of the elders wants to say something, nobody is saying anything. And it is so, so vital that that information be provided, then at that time the younger ones may speak. But let it not be as we largely have it today. Every little opportunity, the young ones want to speak even before the elder, because they think that the elders don't have knowledge. They think that the elders don't have experience. They think that they know. Young people usually think that they know much more than the elder. Don't let this negative, wrong, overblown thinking about yourself push you to have to speak before your elders. For the sake of Allah, let the younger ones keep silent more in the presence of the elder. I think it will be sufficient for us to stop here. In the next class, bismillah, we'll be talking about taswidul akabir, making your elders to be your leaders, just like we said in the previous chapters, making your elders to speak first and ask the questions first, not speaking, except it is absolutely necessary. But here, we'll be talking about the guidance of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, that those who should lead us are the older ones amongst us. The elders amongst us should rule over the younger ones, not the younger ones, claiming that elders should give away for them.
We want to rule.
May Allah protect us. Bismillah, we'll be addressing that in the next class. If we have one or two questions, the time is already spent, but we can go on with a number of questions today, inshallah, Abu Amir.
Jazakumullahu khair, Sheikh.
Amin, amin, wa antum fa jazakumullahu khair.
This question reads, may Allah preserve you upon and us upon goodness. Amen. Regarding allowing the elders to speak first, in a family or situation where the elders are all females and the males are the younger ones, do we still give preference to the elders by allowing the females to speak first, or we give preference to the males?
Yes, allow the women to speak first. The seniority is not about the male or the female. The only time male-female issues come with matters are perhaps in the issues of rulers or in the issues of heads of state and government. If you have the head of state present, like we had mentioned, that seniority could be seniority in terms of rank and status. So the leader is the Kabir here, is the Akbar here, the ruler of the people. You have a governor, for example, in a city, and his mother is in that city. So you don't say, no, mommy, speak first. No, the governor speaks here, because the seniority here is connected to rank and status, and so on downwards. If you have, for example, the principal of the school was visited by officials, and they need to speak. The principal may not be the oldest, if he's not the oldest. But here is the senior in terms of rank, is the one who will speak first before other subordinates speak. I think we've explained this from the very beginning of the class. But if it now has to do with a family, we're at home, our brothers and our sisters and our aunts and the rest, we're all sitting down. The women who are elders, the aunts, the maternal aunts, the paternal aunts, the elderly ones, should be allowed to speak first before the males who are likely to be the younger ones. If the seniority is not about rank and status, then both males and females are the same. Like the rank and status of a husband to a wife, we know these issues have their own governing rules. But when these matters are not there, we are in the family, brothers, sisters, we are all there. We should allow our older ones to speak first. In the family, we should allow our older women to speak first in the family, even though it may be in the presence of the men of that family. The older people should speak first, even if they may be women. As far as it's in the family setup, the women should be allowed to speak if they are the oldest. Allahu a'lam. Amin wa antum.
And this one, I think, it's related to yesterday's class. Assalamu alaikum. Can one kneel to beg someone for the wrong they've done, or asking children to kneel as a sign of punishment?
You should not kneel to beg someone. Don't kneel down, putting your nails on the ground to beg someone. Someone wrote an article regarding that, but the position is very, very wrong. He was trying to employ something that Umar did, radiallahu anhu, in front of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by way of appealing to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That narration occurs in two or three cases in Sahih al-Bukhari. If you follow up the narrations, it was not a kneeling down that Umar did. He sat down in front of the Prophet Muftarishan. He made a firash. The way we sit down, because he went down as the camel goes down. The way the camel goes down, he just went down straight. That is not the way to kneel down. He went down as the camel goes down at one at the same time, bam, like that. That was what Umar did. And when he went down, his laps were connected to the legs. The laps were connected to legs, like when you fold your leg. You know the way we sit in iftirash? In the two, if you are praying Salatul Dhuhr, for example, the first two units, you sit down with Muftarishan Ko, you sit down while clasping your legs, and your knees will be in front, and then your hands will be in front of your knees, by the right knees. making tahiyya, and that was what Umar did. Umar did not kneel down, but the person interpreted it to me kneeling down. It was a wrong interpretation. So don't kneel down to beat somebody, because that place, the knees are places where we put on the ground when we make ibadah for Allah. So don't use it to beg someone. You can go down, sit down beside him. The way you sit down, muftarishan, sitting down, the way you sit down, you have your laps on top of the shank, behind the shank of the lower limb, the lower feet area, and then you have your knees. You can do that in trying to sit down in front of him to appeal to him. So that was what Umar did. Umar radiallahu anhu did not kneel down. Neither did Abu Bakr al-Siddiq kneel down. The way kneeling down means your laps and your feet will be away from themselves. I'll be standing up erect, kneeling and resting on the knees. This is not what Umar did. I think it was a misconception from that brother. It was a wrong conclusion from him. Don't kneel down to greet somebody. You can sit down quietly beside them, show them genuine respect and dignity if you want to appease someone who was annoyed over a matter. Or kneeling down, no, don't do it. How about punishing young people and asking them to kneel down? A better thing to do is to avoid this kind of a thing. Avoid having to say that young people, students in schools, should kneel down. Look for another way to have them disciplined without having to beat them. They don't have to kneel down. Kneeling down itself, so you will hardly find anything like that in the books of discipline regarding the early Muslims. Allahu alam. And many works have been written about how they handle young children and disciplining young children. I think I had mentioned one of the resource materials on relating with children and teaching them and disciplining them in the previous class. We can go back to it. You will not find them asking children to kneel down on their knees as we know it today. Allahu alam. Abu Amir. Amin.
Now, this one is Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May Allah continue to preserve me upon this for you. What is the ruling on the popular gesture where people say ladies first? And secondly, what is the ruling of Yoruba culture where a wife is expected to serve and revere those in her husband's family, even if she is several years older than some of them, and they in turn might accord her no regard to the family?
Well, when they say ladies first, that is not appropriate. We have seen it now that if it is about speech somewhere, then the eldest ones should give a speech, except you have people who are senior in rank in that kind of a gathering. And I think sometimes what they mean when they say ladies first is just to accord them honor in something that has to do with a difficulty. There is a difficult thing. So every man in that place want to see how women can get out of the hardship first. I think this is what they mean. They want to find a way to get women out of hardship first. Maybe you have 5 seats and you have 4 women. You say, okay, the women should sit first because they are weaker, they need to be helped, they need to be considered. But don't forget, if you have an elderly man there too, older than the women, who do we give preference to? We give preference to the elderly man despite the fact that he is a man, then before we say the women should sit down. So it does not disturb what we are discussing. Preference should be given to the elders first. In fact, a woman can stand up for an elderly man to sit down. A woman can stand up for an elderly man to sit down. It happens a lot. If you come down from a plane and you have a vehicle taking you to away from the tarmac to the arrival hall, it happens a lot. You see women standing up, inviting elderly men to sit down. And sometimes you see young men standing up, telling the women to sit down. So if it's about preference. Both men and the women are the same close by their age. The men can say, okay, woman, come and sit down. Because the women are softer and weaker, inshallah. But in terms of age, when elderliness comes to, then the elderly men should be given preference over the weakness of the woman. In fact, many times you find young women asking elderly men to sit down. In fact, they can collect some of the things they are holding, hold it for them, help them carry their hand luggages, and ask the elderly men to sit down. This is the appropriate thing by way of showing respect for their age, showing respect for their age, showing respect for the age of the elderly is from the aspects of showing respect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But as for families, cultures, what we have in our culture, where people will want the woman to show respect for younger men in the family of the husband, sometimes it will be selective. I know a woman who, she does it. She wants the wives in the family to respect her own children who are males far younger, but she does not respect the other males. She does not do it. So the point is that as a Muslim, don't bring your wife to disrepute in your home. Don't bring your wife to disrepute in your family. If your wife is elderly and a respected person, allow her to maintain her age and respect. But that doesn't mean she also will be rude. Some wives too become rude to the younger men in the family because they are older. Don't forget, the elderly person also has a right to show compassion and mercy and kindness. So if you are older than a boy, the boy is Rashid, for example, in his name. You are 41 years old, the boy is just 20 years old. It doesn't mean that you become rude to him. You can push him as you like. Women, don't do this. Show them kindness and respect. It will make them respect you more. You don't start calling him Rashid. No, you can show him some respect. Abu Abdurrahman, Abu Abdullah, can you please do this for me? It has not reduced your age. If you respect a person, it does not reduce your age. Sometimes women think that if you respect somebody, they will disrespect you. The time they will disrespect you is when you are showing disrespect, they disrespect you more. It's a matter of time. But when you respect the person, they respect you more. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Ma tawadda'a ahadun illa rafa'ahu Allah." No one comes in humility except that Allah raises the person. But some women want to say, "I don't want to bring myself down so that the guy does not disrespect me." That is the time that he will disrespect you. So respect him, honor him. When he becomes haughty, when he becomes coarse, you handle his haughtiness and his coarseness with another respect again. At the end of the day, he will respect you forever. Don't bring yourself in showing shoulders up. It will not bring you anything except disgrace. But when you respect yourself more, you respect the people, even though you are older than them, these may lie to bring you more respect. You can question him. Abu Abdurrahman, I wanted you to do this. Because of this reason, you do it in a matured way. He can even say to you, "I'm sorry, ma." When you show good respect, but sometimes women think that it is when they want to show that they are older than everybody, that is what will end their respect. No, the more you respect people, they come back to respect you. If you respect people, they come back to respect you. But when you want to show that I'm older than you, so the boy is Rashid, say, "Rashid, stand up, hey, did that." One day you say, "Why does this woman want to treat me as if I'm her slave?" So you call her, or she say, "My friend, don't call me like that." You lost it all. But when you respect him, "Oh, Abu Abdurrahman, your food is ready. Oh, can I bring this to you? Oh, can I show them mercy and kindness?" Sometimes when they air, you can invite him. "Abu Abdurrahman, you did this. You could have not have done it. You could have done this like this." He begins to see you like a mother and an elderly sister rather than a foe and an enemy. If you come raising your shoulders as the wife of the boy's elder brother or something, it may bring you some disrespect. So bring humility into the matter, you'll be more respected, and you'll be shown more esteem, inshallah, by those men. These things really happen in homes. May Allah protect each and every one of us.
I mean, Abu Amir. أحسن الله إليك.
آمين وأنتم جزاكم الله خيرا. Can we have it today today here؟
نعم نعم شيخ. صلوات الله عليك.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.